Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this very special edition of the Strang Report. I'm Stephen Strang, and today I am trying a new format that I'm hoping to go to, and it's a 30-minute format. We will probably call it the weekly special. It's a weekly special of the Strang Report, and I'll just talk to you about what's going on with Charisma Magazine, with Charisma Media, some of the projects I'm working on, things that are in the news. It's just kind of my way to relate to the listener and for the people who are watching on Facebook Live as well. I've done podcasts now for a couple of years. Usually I'll just grab somebody who is interesting or one of our authors or just different ones and come into the podcast studio and try to do one or two a week. Some are 12 minutes, some are 16 minutes. It's kind of nice actually not having to do a time frame. So this is kind of new for me of having a time frame and actually having to watch a countdown clock. So there are a lot of people that do these kind of podcasts. A lot of people do radio. I'm a print guy. That was my background. But over the years, I have done more and more TV, especially with my new book coming out and also with these podcasts, which is an awful lot like radio. I've gotten more familiar with it. And we just decided to be more strategic and talk about things that are in the news. So I'm going to start by talking about Omarosa. Unless you've been living in a cave, you can't miss hearing about Omarosa and her new book that's very critical of President Trump called Unhinged. Now, when this exploded in the media, of course, I'd heard a few things. I knew she'd been hired by the White House. I had heard something about she had been fired at the White House, but so have some other people, including a number of people like Scaramucci and Steve Bannon, who have continued to be very, very positive for Trump. She has been very negative, and it's just been kind of interesting for me to see because she was vilified by the left-leaning media when she was in the Trump White House and while she was trying to be a liaison between the Trump administration and the black community, along with her other duties. But since she's come out against Trump, instead of them vilifying her, she's their new hero, and she's just everywhere, on every station, and even stations where she's not on, they're talking about it. Now, this is particularly interesting to me for a couple of reasons, and I wrote a blog about it this week and sent it out as a newsletter. It's a blog online. It's called The Strang Report as well, and you can go online at charismanews.com and find it. In fact, I hope you sign up for my newsletter. I've got about 30,000 people on my newsletter list, and I'm always trying to get more to sign up. I was interested in Omarosa because I met her. And you'll be interested where I met her. I met her at the election party for Donald Trump on November 8th, 2016. I had been invited up to the election party. I actually believed that there was at least a possibility he was going to win, and I wanted to be there for this historic event. So they opened the doors at 6:30 at the Hilton Ballroom up in New York, and I went with Daryl Scott and his wife, Belinda, and a few friends. And we showed up right when the doors opened. And at first, you know, all the media was there, but, you know, the room began to fill up pretty quickly. And one of the first people there was Omarosa. And there were well-wishers around her, and she was talking, and she was animated. And, you know, I sort of knew her a little bit. I knew she was a celebrity. I knew she had something to do with Donald Trump. And so I had the opportunity, and I struck up a conversation. And she was very animated. I mean, she was excited beyond excited. And this would have been maybe 7:30 in the evening. And of course, the election wasn't called until, about 2 in the morning Eastern time. And then Donald Trump came out at 2:49. I know, because I filmed it on my own iPhone, and it told the time, of course. And she just knew he was going to win. And, you know, this was practically before any of the polls had closed. And she was excited. She had been enthusiastically campaigning for him. She thought that a lot of people in the black community would start rallying around him because in spite of a lot of things you hear, Donald Trump is very much for the black community. In fact, he said to them, you know, you vote for the Dems all the time, and what have they given you? I mean, it's just kind of more welfare, and they take the vote for granted. And Donald Trump believes in rebuilding the inner cities, providing jobs, providing opportunities for people. And this is beginning to resonate. And there are several very prominent African Americans, including Dr. Alveda King, who's a personal friend and who's the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but also Diamond and Silk and a whole lot of others. I mean, Donald Trump even has blacks in his administration, like Dr. Ben Carson and others. So anyway, this was kind of what we were talking about. Now, I was talking to her as private conversation. I was not interviewing. It was not for the record. I never dreamed that all this would happen. She was excited. I was excited. We were all excited about what was happening. There was some talk that evening, or I can't remember if she said it or someone told me that they thought that she would be drafted to be in the White House. And later on, she was. She was given a well-paying job. You can read all about it online. And then a number of things happened. And it's a little bit unclear what happened. But one of the things that I read about was that she was recently married. And without permission, she did pre-wedding photo shoot in her bride's gown in the Rose Garden. And that's kind of a no-no. Now, how in the world she got by security with her friends and the other people, I don't know. But, you know, there are a number of things like this that happened. And John Kelly fired her. And that is entirely within his purview. Then what happened when love turns to hate, often between, you know, lovers, sometimes they'll be passionately in love and things happen and it turns to hate and they get a divorce and it gets nasty, nasty, nasty. That's how I interpret what happened with Omarosa, because I believe she's a good woman. She had a reputation, even when I met her, she had a reputation as being a Christian. There aren't that many celebrities who are. When she got married, interestingly, she married a pastor of a very large African-American church up in Jacksonville, Florida, which is not too far from where I live. So I believe that she is a Christian, of course, and I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I say that partly because I give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt every time he does something that I don't understand. It's been interesting to watch this play out because I don't know that she's really affected very much. She just showed that she was disloyal, which is really very sad. Loyalty is a very, very important character trait. And Donald Trump made her through The Apprentice and helped her career and hired her for the White House and all of this thing. It's one thing to pull back. It's another thing to go on the offensive and to attack and also to lie. You know, there are those who are much more familiar with the situation than I am who say that her book is out and out lying. Now, there's another reason why I am interested in the Omarosa, because she's out pushing her book. And soon I'll be out pushing my book, my new book called Trump Aftershock. And I am recording this toward the end of August. And by August 27th, I have to have my part done, with one exception that I'll explain in just a minute. It's gone through the editing process. We have worked. I've really been working on it since March 1st. Not 40 hours a week, but there were chunks where I actually went out of town and worked on it full time for, you know, a week or a week and a half at a time. But anyway, the editors do their thing, and then they print out what in the old days we used to call galley proofs. Now we call them first pages. And what it is, it's all typeset. It looks exactly like it will in the book. And you can go through it one last time and change anything that if the book were printed and there was a mistake in it and they brought it to you, it would have been like, gee, we'd really like to change this mistake. So that's the stage we're at, and I'm having to go through it. And it's very time-consuming because it's 110,000 words. And the book actually comes out on Election Day, which I'll also talk about in a minute. That's November 6th, which will be the two-year anniversary, other than the fact, you know, the dates shift on the calendar, you know, one day a year. But it's a two-year anniversary of when Donald Trump was elected and the one-year anniversary of when my first book came out, God and Donald Trump. Now, let me say something about God and Donald Trump. It was the first major book I've done as an author, even though I was trained as a journalist. Of course, journalists are not necessarily book authors, and book authors aren't necessarily journalists. As time passed, I saw an opportunity with publishing, and we got into publishing. And I'm told that we have published over 3,000 books. After a while, there are just so many, you kind of lose count. And this was the first major one that I had written. And I've explained in different settings, maybe I've even done it on earlier podcasts, that I recognize that there should be a book on Trump and his Christian faith. At first, we thought we would call it The Faith of Donald J. Trump. We found out that somebody else was writing a book on that and had already announced it, which kind of meant that they had dibs on the title. And we thought and thought and thought, what can we call ours? And I actually think that God and Donald Trump is a stronger title. So I felt that it needed to be published. But instead of hiring someone, I hired myself. And it was a great experience. I had been involved in the campaign. I had interviewed Donald Trump himself. We had written a lot of stuff in Charisma Magazine about the prophecies. There were a number of prophecies where Christian prophets who I knew, and I have talked about this before, predicted against all odds that God was raising up Donald Trump. And my book is really to say, is this possible that God raised up Donald Trump? And I try to make an argument for the reader that it did happen. Of course, I write from a Christian perspective. But, you know, the Christian perspective is not covered at all in the secular arena. It's just not. In fact, I had read several books on Donald Trump just because I was interested in it. And they didn't even mention the role that evangelicals played in the election. And I felt there was an untold story. By the way, if you haven't bought God and Donald Trump, you can do it by going to our website. We have a special website, and it's called godanddonaldtrumpbook.com. On that, you can get some free samples. There's a really neat trailer, you know, video trailer, and some other stuff. And also, if you buy a copy of the book on our website, I will personally sign and autograph the copy for you. And I have offered this in media interviews and have been really surprised by the response and decided that I would do it to my own Strang Report audience as well. So that book ended up being more successful than we thought. In fact, there are other books that are bigger, but you know, we sort of figured what it would do. And often books don't even come up to what you're projecting. But this one not only met but exceeded expectations by about 2 times. So we thought, okay, there's a place out in the market. Of course, everything's changing every single day with Donald Trump. And so we came up with the idea of doing another book called Trump Aftershock, and that's the book that's getting ready to go to the press. Now, I'm going to say something, maybe I shouldn't. This is live on Facebook Live, and of course, the podcast will be out there, but we felt that the book would be stronger if I could get an interview with the president. And that interview has not happened yet, but we are hopeful that it's going to happen. And if so, we're going to add it in a special section by itself so it kind of stands out in the book. And I know that you'll want to read it. You can also get free stuff and some early excerpts of chapters for Trump Aftershock. And that is TrumpAftershock.com. That's a special website. The book is not out. It will not be out until Election Day, November 6th, but you can go ahead and pre-order it. And if you do order it on our website, of course, we won't send it out until then. It's not even printed yet, but I will also autograph those books as well. Now, one of the things I'm going to start doing on the Strang Report is we're going to have sponsors. And the very first sponsor is our own Charisma House. So I want to call to your attention a very important book by a good friend named Brigitte Gabriel. And the book is called Rise, R-I-S-E, Rise. And what she is saying is that Christian people need to arise to act, to come against a lot of the evil in the country as it manifests itself as terrorism. Brigitte Gabriel herself was a victim of terrorism when she grew up in Lebanon. She actually came to the United States as an adult, but her family fled that terrible, terrible terrorism. And she talks about this in the book, and she has been able to motivate and to get many, many thousands, in fact, several hundreds of thousands, people involved in her ministry. It's the largest grassroots organization in America that fights terrorism in terms of getting Congress to pass certain laws, to speak up when terrorism happens, and maybe there's some leftists who maybe play it down. She's been very, very effective. And you will want to read her book. And in fact, you can buy it anywhere. It's at all the major book sellers. You can also buy it on Amazon.com, of course. That's probably the fastest way to get it. But you can also go to a special website called www.risetoact.com. And I'll spell it RISETOACT.com. And I know that you'll want to do it. You need to educate yourself. And books like this are a very good way to educate yourself. And I encourage you to buy it. Now, I was talking about Trump aftershock and what's happening. Actually, I deal with the whole thing about terrorism, and Brigitte Gabriel is one of the people I interviewed when we talked about it and talked about some of the things that Donald Trump has done. In fact, he has basically decimated ISIS, and ISIS was strong because these radical Islamists believe that there needs to be a caliphate, which is literal land. And ISIS, of course, stands for Iraq, Syria, Islamic State. And they were saying that this was the fulfillment of some ancient prophecy, but the land is basically all gone. And ISIS is not the threat now than it used to be. Now, it still is a threat. There's no question about it. But Donald Trump said when he ran for office that he would wipe out ISIS, and he's basically kept his word. And of course, the fight will go on. I heard someone talking about it recently and said, it was a congressman who said, you know, this is a generational battle that we will likely be fighting for the rest of our lives. But Donald Trump has made a huge difference. The whole idea of the book, Trump Aftershock, is that Trump's election was like an earthquake. And if there's an earthquake, often there are aftershocks. Now, my personal opinion, which I stated in the book, is that if he had done nothing but stop crooked Hillary Clinton, who, in my opinion, was one of the most corrupt people to ever run for president. You know, when you're subpoenaed, you're supposed to give up whatever you're subpoenaed. Instead, she destroyed 30,000 emails and destroyed the computers. Now, you have to wonder what was in those emails. I mean, if you've been following the news, you know about these text messages from Peter Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page. And look how much trouble they've gotten in over that. Now, no charges have been brought or anything. But can you imagine if they had destroyed all of those text messages, I think 50,000 that the authorities went through? Well, that's what Hillary Clinton did. And I mean, we could go right down the line, and there were many things like that, up to and including them paying several million dollars for a fake dossier. You know, it's ironic that the Justice Department is trying to connect Trump's people who had a short meeting with someone who said they had dirt on Hillary, and that that's somehow wrong. But going and finding a former spy from Britain and paying several million dollars for not only just bad material, you know, they call it opposition research, but they made this stuff up. It was almost like they were writing a spy thriller, except that it was boring and it's been totally discredited. But I get back to my point. My point is, if he had done nothing but stop Hillary, I thought our country would be better off. But he has done so much more. From the very first week he was in office, he's accomplished it. In fact, my book lists all the things he accomplished in his first 500 days. These are things that are largely go unreported, or is just reported as some routine thing for a very short time on broadcast or way back in a newspaper, or not at all. But you can read my book and read, it's in the appendix. It was so long, we didn't put it in a chapter. Of course, a lot of the chapters dealt with a lot of the same things, but it's just a list of all that he's accomplished. And I'm saying that all these things are aftershocks. And of course, you know, now in August, a couple months before the midterms, we don't know who's going to win. The Democrats say there's going to be a blue wave. The Republicans say there's going to be a red wave. I personally think that unless something really bad happens, or unless the Republicans just all stay home, that they will defy the odds, which is that the other party generally wins in the midterms, and that there will be a red wave. But regardless, if the Republicans lose both houses of Congress, these things that have happened with Donald Trump are going to continue. Neil Gorsuch will still be on the Supreme Court. A lot of these regulations will still be off the books. The embassy will still be in Israel. These are all things that we deal with in the book. So I don't even think we hardly mention the midterms, because by the time the book comes out, you know, we'll all know what it is and it'll be old news. That's not the point. It's the point of trying to document exactly what this president has accomplished. And my book is not a puff piece. It's not at all. I write, you know, Donald Trump does a lot of stuff that we don't understand. Some of his tweets are an example. But, you know, he's a disruptor. and disruptors disrupt, and they're disruptive, and everything he does is disruptive. So I give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but I also don't say that it's great, greater, and greatest. Instead, the book is very well documented. There are pages and pages and pages of endnotes that document everything we say in the book. And we not only put in endnotes, or what some people would call footnotes, but we go back and double-check everything. We did this for God and Donald Trump, too. And to my knowledge, nobody has called us on anything that we got wrong. You know, sometimes you get things wrong on purpose, and sometimes you get things wrong by accident. But we were just very, very careful. I think that's my background as a journalist, because I knew when I wrote articles that, boy, if you got something wrong, somebody was going to be on the phone to the editor and griping about it and making a case for how you got it wrong. So I learned very early to be very, very careful. In fact, when I was trained in journalism, journalists back then tended to be liberal. They just weren't so far left, and the agenda wasn't nearly as strong. But in journalism school, if the professor found a fact error in your article, you got an automatic failing grade. And sometimes they try to trick you up into even getting somebody's name wrong or spell it wrong. And so I think that instilled in me, and it continues even with this book. I try to make the case that Donald Trump not only was raised up by the Lord, but that he is disrupting the deep state. He's making major changes in the Middle East. The economy is booming. And I think that people who really like Trump, their eyes are going to be open. It's like, why don't we see this in the media? Of course, the media won't drill down in the same way that I do. And even people who don't like Trump, I think that their eyes will be open too. And we had feedback from God and Donald Trump that, in fact, you can go on Amazon and read the reviews. Some of the people said, I bought this for some family member, and they said it opened their eyes and they liked Trump now. And I didn't write it for that reason, but I was glad that we were persuasive enough. And even when Politico, which is the left-leaning website, did a review, they said it was a surprisingly good book and that it was kind of an insight into the Christian subculture. And they did not trash it. I thought that was very interesting that they didn't trash the book at all. And even the things like the prophecies. I mean, there are Christians. There are certain segments of the Protestant church that doesn't believe that prophecies are for today, and they will often be very critical. But, you know, the thing is that these prophecies did come true, and I know that a lot of people read the book who weren't believers. A lot of people certainly weren't charismatics like I am, but I wanted them to go, maybe God does have a plan. Maybe God is involved in the affairs of men. Even though I didn't emphasize it in the same way with this new book, I hope that people will somehow sense that God is in control. A lot of the people I quote are people like Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Robert Jeffress. I interviewed Governor Mike Huckabee, Dr. Jerry Falwell, who's the president of Liberty. All these people are in the book elaborating, and I could go on and on and on. Anyway, I hope that you will go on the site. It's TrumpAftershock.com and download the couple of free chapters we have there. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with the writing. We had a good team of editors who helped me whip it into shape, which I really appreciate. And then also there's an opportunity for you to order it, and the book, we're getting great placement, I'm thankful to say, in the big booksellers like Barnes & Noble and Walmart and Sam's and Books A Million, and also some of the Christian chains like Mardell's and, of course, an awful lot of Christian bookstores. But there was a time when our books mostly sold only in Christian bookstores, and it's exciting to me that the Lord has opened these doors that we can be involved in the marketplace. And I believe that this is very important, and I believe that it's important to you too. Now, since I'm talking to my friends, the people who are on our Facebook page, people who read Charisma Magazine, people who listen to my Strang Report, I want to just encourage you to take advantage of some of the things that we do. You know, we publish lots of books besides Brigitte's and mine. Like I said, several thousand books, at least 1,000 of which are still in print. And I just encourage you to pay attention. I think that you'll find things that you like. And also, if you don't subscribe to Charisma Magazine, now would be a great time to do it. And I'm going to try an experiment that if you will call our offices, we have a subscription company in Des Moines, Iowa, believe it or not, who handles all our subscriptions, and it's very automated and a lot of systems. What I'm going to do is invite you to subscribe to Charisma, but it's kind of outside the system. And what you need to do is during office hours Eastern time, you can call our office. Now write down this number. It's 407-333-0600. And our address, if you want to write us instead, is Charisma 600 Reinhart Road. And Reinhart is spelled R-I-N-E-H-A-R-T Road. And the city is Lake Mary, Florida, 32746. If you'll call in and subscribe, or if you'll write in and subscribe, and the subscription is only $20 a year, and you can use your credit card over the phone, not only will you get the subscription, but let us know that you want it, and I will personally autograph a copy of God and Donald Trump and send it to you right away. Part of it is I'd like to see if anyone from Facebook Live or from my podcast, if I can motivate you to do this kind of thing. And I'll be excited if there's just a few, because it'll let me know that I'm connecting with you. Also, let me know if you like this longer 30-minute version of my podcast that we're calling a weekly special. I'm going to just try some different things. I'm going to watch myself on Facebook Live to see what it looks like. I'll listen to it, of course. And we're just trying to morph and change and maybe go national in some ways that we haven't before, kind of move it up to the next level. So our time is up. And with that, I'm going to thank you for listening. Thank you for those on Facebook Live for watching. And thank you for your input and for responding. God bless you. I'm Steve Strang.
Liberty University's mission of training champions for Christ is so much more than a vision. It's a calling. Faculty and staff don't just train exceptional CEOs, therapists, and pilots. They train exceptional professionals in hundreds of fields who want to impact the world for Christ. Discover how Liberty students are following God's call and how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus at liberty.edu/champions.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.